Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Life Improvement Show, Self-Help for the Living, with your hosts, Angie Anderson and Kat McIntyre. Now, with no further ado, ladies.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Life Improvement. I'm your host, Angie Anderson, and I think shortly my co-host, Kat McIntyre, will be joining me. On today's show, we have Dean Kingett, Master Healer. Dean is a master of many healing modalities. He does one-on-one healing sessions and also teaches classes on healing and spiritual transformation at his sanctuary in Hessel, near Hull, over in the UK. Dean offers a lot of incredible information and inspiration on his website, which is spiritualheart.wordpress.com. And Spiritual Heart is spelled SPIRITUALHART, not no E in the heart. So spiritualheart.wordpress.com. Wow, let's see. Dean has a raw passion for helping others. He's devoted his life to helping facilitate healing for others, as well as teaching others how to call upon these healing forces for themselves. And he does it in a most respectful and loving way. I'm sure some healers do their work simply because they can do it, because they've been trained in it, but Dean clearly does this work because he loves it, and he truly cares about people. my personal experiences working with Dean have been absolutely incredible and, on a spiritual level, transformational. I can't say enough about him, really. There's a lot I would like to say, but I think I'd rather see if we can get him online here and just get started with the interview. Let's see. Kat, are you there? Kat?
Yeah.
In the hat. Hi.
Meow, meow. You can't hear me?
I can hear you now.
I've been going, I'm here.
Can you hear me now? All right.
Remember now, I'm calling from Belgium, so.
All right, so we are going to do this again with a Skype, and I'm a little nervous because I'm not sure what's going to happen, but hopefully he'll pop up anytime now. We can pull him in.
If not, we'll just talk to a spirit.
There you go. Well, it wouldn't be his spirit, see? He works with his spirit guides, or, you know, I think he has another name for it, but really, I think that's the gist of it.
He's got a whole bunch of them.
What was that?
He's got a bunch of them.
Right, like his little gang, yeah. He tends to give credit to them rather than himself, you know, when I'm like, oh, you know, you do incredible work, this is awesome. He's like, no, it's not me, it's, you know, it's, they do all the work, so he's very modest in what he does. It's pretty cool.
I think I remember Ben Black Elk, Cloud Man.
What?
Ben Black Elk. That's one of his guides.
Oh, okay. Oh, here he
Unless
is. Okay,
I'm
let's
mistaken.
See. I think we can pull him on now. Let me. Okay, Dean, are you there?
I am indeed. Can you hear me?
Aha, we got you this time.
Yay.
Ooh, it actually works. It actually works.
Very good.
Hello to you. How are you doing?
Yeah, well, I'm doing good. Kat, how are you?
I am enjoying the sunshine.
Look at you. It's a bit grey and miserable over here today.
Oh, dear.
In England, really?
Yeah, just for change.
We've actually been having, it'll be rain and dark skies one day, and then the following day, sunshine, and the day after that, we've got the gray skies again, and schizophrenic.
It's been weird lately, yeah. I dressed for winter yesterday, all bundled up, and went out and ran my errands and I was broiling and people are running around in sundresses. I'm like, wait a minute, someone didn't give me the notice. keeps going back and forth.
I definitely need to move to sunnier climates, I think. I really don't like the cold. It's not me.
Right. Yeah, it can really make a difference in how you feel. Okay, Dean. Let's get started. Are you ready?
Ready as I'll ever be, I suppose.
Okay, before we get started on just basic questions, what's in the name Spiritual Heart?
Spiritual Heart is wrote how it is wrote, without the E, for good reason. When I was trying to put together a team to do the demonstrations and the charity work we do, obviously we wanted spiritual as a word in it somewhere, but there's many, many different groups and things out there. And it was my own guide, Ben Black Elk, who actually gave us the name. And spiritual, obviously, because of the work we do, and the heart is because the male elk is actually called a heart. So that's how we sort of put it together. Not my idea. It was obviously given to me by my good friend Ben Black Elk. So we've used it ever since, which is the same reason of the picture coming together as well, with the two elks on the logo and the heart in between. So, yeah, it's a little bit of the story behind it.
Oh, that's interesting.
And he just saw my animal tidbit that I was going to throw in.
I'm sorry.
So you mentioned Ben, and do you, I guess you have basically a gang of folks that you work with would be considered on the other side. Do you know them all, like, by name and maybe visually, or is it just kind of a sense you get that there's a force there with you? How does that work exactly for you?
I see a few of them. I don't see all of them. I work with far too many, to be honest. A lot of them, my medium friends, psychic friends, have told me certain people are working with me and things like that. I work with, obviously, my spirit guides, but I work with the angels as well. The Ascended Masters are a big sort of influence in a lot of the work I do too. To get complicated, you can go into the sort of multidimensional world things, and I have guides from Atlantis and Lemuria, which I can't even begin to tell you about that sort of stuff. That's way beyond my knowledge, but it is just an honour to have these people working through me and doing what they do, which is a lot of good stuff. So yeah, but Ben, I do get to see occasionally. He will show his face or guide me in certain ways. And with practicing Reiki, Dr. Yusui, who founded the Reiki back in the 1800s, he's around a lot as well. It is good. It's nice to see him now and again, but I must admit I'm not very visual. I'd be lying if I said I was. It's not sort of my thing, and what I'm definitely not is a medium. I just get guided when I'm healing. They tell me to put my hands wherever they need to be, and we just let the energy flow. Leave it to them. It's the best thing. They know what they're doing. I ain't got a clue.
Right? Wow. Did they actually say, you know, there's something going on here? Is it something like that, or you just get a sense for where things are kind of going on and it needs to be cleared? Is it more generalized?
It happens a few different ways, to be honest. Sometimes when I'm healing a patient and I'll be talking to my guides and saying, where do I need to be? And they will present the problem on my own body. I will feel a pain in my leg or in my stomach or in my head or wherever. So that they sort of let me know that way so I can move my hands to that certain area. But if I'm doing like an absent healing, which if I'm working on somebody from the USA or wherever, which is, you know, you can't do a hands-on, then it tends to go a little bit different because you're working on the person's spiritual body then, and they allow me to put my hands inside that spiritual being as it's lying in my sanctuary. So you can put things back like hernias and remove things like congestion, things like that. It's very strange. It's very weird. It's all very fascinating, to be honest. It's hard to believe. It's a seeing is definitely believing thing. But
right.
No, I just listen. Sometimes, like I say, they will just move my hands automatically or whatever. It is a very intuitive thing. And I do struggle with it a lot because it does get very, very confusing at times. But it seems to work, and the results have been good over the last few years. So I'm not knocking it. They know what they're doing.
Right. Kat, I cut you off. Your question?
Yes, he brought up one of his guides, Dr. Usui, and I've been personally trying to live by his five spiritual principles. And I falter, you know, I'm human. But it's made a huge difference in my attitude towards myself, towards other people, and the way that I handle roadblocks.
Mm-hmm.
Usually I try to just steamroll through them, and now I'm finding a way to either flow with them or flow around them. So I wondered if you could share those spiritual principles with our listeners?
Yeah, they're very good to live by. But you're right, we're a fallible breed, unfortunately. We are these physical idiots, we are. It's very high to reach them sort of levels of perfectness, shall we say. But it can help you along. I mean, it's looking for the good in everything, which is hard to find because, you know, the world is a very negative place, unfortunately. But if you can see through it, and, you know, things like honouring your father and your teachers and your mother and things and stuff like that, we don't always do. We're not the most respectful as children, are we? And we're not the most respectful as we grow up. You know, being kind to every living thing, you know, what child doesn't step on a spider or something like that because we're completely, you know, inferior of them, these little tiny creatures and stuff like that. I was terrible, to be honest. Spiders absolutely petrified me. But when I started working with energy and with spirit, they really don't bother me anymore. And, you know, there's something I can pick up and put outside now when they've come in the house and things and stuff like that. It does give you... Trying to live that sort of way, it does give you a better understanding and perception on life and what it's actually about. We take a lot for granted, particularly insects and things that appear ugly to us. But like they say, and like Spirit says, everything has a reason, everything has its purpose, and you know we shouldn't deem something so little and insignificant to us as a life worth wasting, but what we do, unfortunately. Spirit's guidance has changed my life massively. Don't get me wrong, I'm not a big pusher of religion or anything like that. I don't knock any religion, but I can't really live by one. I mean, I was born Church of England, so I'm supposedly Christian, but I've studied the Bible, I've studied Buddhism, I've studied a little bit of Hinduism and certain other things, and when all these guides come in to help you from all these different religions, then how can I choose a religion?
it's
very difficult, and to them it seems to me like they don't really care about religion up there. They're just all about love and, you know, respecting your fellow man, your fellow woman, your fellow animal, just respecting everything basically. And that's the more you work with it, that's the kind of outlook you get. It comes with a lot of respect, obviously.
Yeah.
But you know, when I'm out of the sanctuary, I'm Dino, the same kid everybody knew back in school, back when I was a teenager, and all the rest of it. I don't pretend to be any sort of like religious guru or anything like that. It's not for me. I'm not one for preaching. I'm just honoured to do what I do, basically.
I think it's really wonderful that you have that, you give people, you offer free healing for themselves, for their animal companions, family or friends, if they just ask to be added to the list for absent healing. I think that's so loving and giving that you offer the physical, emotional, mental, and then including, of course, our fellow animals, the four-legged and the winged and such.
I think everybody, everything deserves it, really. I mean, to me, again, it's, you know, my healing sessions can last anything from 45 minutes to 2 hours, depending on what I'm dealing with. Obviously, some problems are more severe than others, especially when you're dealing with negative energies as well and things like that. But because the way I see it, the way my guides and angels and everybody else who works through me and does so much to help me help others, then for me to give the free healing and add people to the healing list and just send out that bit of healing to them all every day, then that's just like me paying some respect back for what they allow me to be for others, basically, which is why I like to do it.
So where did this all start? Like, basically, where did the interest start? When in your life did this really become not just an interest but a total calling? Because I know it's a complete and utter all-encompassing calling for you at this point, but maybe not always.
Yeah, it definitely has become that. It's definitely taken over my life. I first sort of understood it a little bit. I remember being 12 years old, and on a Tuesday night, my mother used to play for the local darts team. It was one of our girls' nights out sort of thing, and it used to leave me and my dad sat in together on a Tuesday night, and we used to just chew the fat and mumble about certain topics and things and stuff like that. And I really used to enjoy him. He used to make me feel like a grown-up, like an adult. We used to have these great conversations and stuff, and, you know, he'd let me have a shandy now and again and stuff like that. I felt like a proper adult. It was quite nice. But I just remember on this one occasion, he sat down. I don't know how it came up. I ain't got a clue how it came up. But I remember him talking to me about spirit and the afterlife. And I remember him being so embarrassed by telling me about it. And I think he was just waiting for me to start laughing or, you know, just totally disbelieve it. But he got the exact opposite. What he got was an incredibly intrigued child.
Right.
And I just questioned and questioned and questioned, and he told me about my granddad, who was a medium himself, mm-hmm. and a few other people, and I just lapped it up like you would. Why would you disbelieve your father? And
sure.
You know, he was my best friend as well. You know, I mean, he still is to this day. Mm-hmm. But I sort of left it then. We talked about it, that was it, that it was over. And I never really thought that much about it again until I was 15, about 3 years later. And that was the first time that I experienced the death of a family member, which is, you know, it's not a great time for anybody. But I just, all this knowledge my dad had given me, and we'd spoke about it briefly over the years in between, when my mum's mum died, my nana, I just couldn't cry. I tried my hardest to. I know it sounds silly, doesn't it? It sounds quite callous, but I just couldn't. I even closed myself off in my bedroom and I stared at photographs of my nana, and all I could do was smile and just remember the great times and the good times. And I couldn't, you know, I just knew I'd see her again. I knew she'd be back, and I knew I'd see her whenever. And that sort of opened me up a real lot. That was like a big turning curve for me. And that's when I started attending spiritualist churches.
Wow. So that was pretty early on for you. So this has been a lifelong pursuit. I mean, I knew it had been the majority of your adult life, but I didn't know it started when you were so young. Most kids at that age are still, you know, playing with toys and trying to figure out, you know, who they are. And you're already on this incredible path.
It wasn't something I bragged about in the playground, believe me.
No, that would have got you.
Yeah, right.
Beat up after school, most likely.
Yeah, that would have definitely got me a few punches, without a doubt. It is funny because of the beauty of the computer and the internet and things like Facebook and stuff like that. And a lot of old school friends have got back in touch and things, and they're amazed at what I do, and they just are like, you weren't like that at school. And I was like, well, yeah, yes, I was, but I just wasn't going to tell you.
Oh, man.
I've definitely surprised a few.
My husband has told me about when he was a small child. He's always been very thoughtful, well-advanced in thinking. He's extremely intelligent. And he was in grammar school in the lower grades, maybe third grade. And they were talking on the playground, and they were talking about God and church and stuff. And he said, they were amazed he didn't go to church. And they said, well, why not? And he said, because I don't believe in God. And it was like Lord of the Flies. They turned on him, and they, as a mob, just started cornering him and throwing things at him and screaming things at him. And it was extremely traumatizing for him. So I can see why you wouldn't walk around saying, I have spirit guides. And
Yes, it's definitely a strange one. I mean, even through my adult life, I kept it quite to myself, because, you know, there's a lot of ridicule that comes with it and stuff like that, because, again, it comes with this religious sort of tagging that you're a Bible basher, as they call it, and all the rest of it. I don't do that, you know, and a lot of people in my work, healing or psychics and that, like, we're not all preaching the gospel and all the rest of it. It's not about that. It's just about helping people. Even the mediums, just giving a message to somebody, that's healing. You know, you're guiding them on their path, especially if they've lost a loved one. You're helping them to understand that there is a life after death, that they are there to look after you, that you will see them again, and it's all helping you through. It's not about preaching about Jesus and God, and, you know, you read about God's wrath and all the rest of it. I can't see a vengeful God personally, and people spout so much gibberish about it. It just spoils the whole concept of the afterlife, basically. But it's like, you know, I say to people, I don't know things about biochemistry, but I know it exists. I don't know things about nuclear physics, but I know it exists. I just haven't took the time to study it. And if you don't take the time to study spiritualism, then don't mock it, because it exists.
Well, people fear what they don't understand.
Yeah. Definitely.
That's a problem. And I think here in California, at least, the climate is changing, and it's not unusual to pick up the LA Times and see ads in the back for spiritual healings, for Reiki, for different modalities, where just 10 years ago that wouldn't have happened.
You seem very open on that. I've got a lot of friends in the USA, yourself included, I'd like to add. But you seem very much open to the spiritual side of things in America than they do over here in the UK. We are very pompous, to be honest. We're very ignorant over here. We really, really are. I know there's a lot of us who do this work, but as a population in general, we are very tight-lipped when it comes to talking about things like this. The people don't seem to want to know about it over here, which I find very unfortunate, really.
I think I'm back on, and let's see if I can get Kat back on. Kat,
I'm here. Okay. Yeah, you can't hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Everybody dropped off the switchboard at once, so I don't know what happened. Yeah, I'm hoping Dean will call right back in.
I heard you going, hello, hello?
And I couldn't hear anybody, and then I saw everybody fall off the switchboard one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what in the world happened.
Are we back on?
We're
back on.
Quick
what
recovery.
What happened
everybody
there?
Dropped off. I don't know what happened. But we pulled it back together.
Maybe the spirits are playing with us.
Yeah, exactly.
Could be.
Ever know.
You're
exactly
right. I must have said
the
wrong thing.
Okay, so let's
look.
Well, there's somewhere I want to go ahead.
He was talking about the stigma attached, and I didn't want to miss. Oh, what's the word I want? There's plenty of ignorance here too, and there are pockets of enlightenment. But even me, 3 years ago, I would have laughed at the classes I've been taking and the things I've been learning. And Angie's been trying to teach me for 10 years, and I just poo-pooed her. And I knew it to be true. I just didn't want to because of the stigma. So I'm a new... I've finally come out of the spiritual closet.
That's one way to put it.
Yeah, really. Okay, so Dean, you've studied like a lot of different healing modalities and techniques, what have you. How do you choose what you work with, what's your basis and your foundation of what you do? I mean, there is a lot of different ways to approach this. What is your basic approach and how did you get to it?
To be fair, I don't choose anymore. I completely leave it to them now. I've studied many things. Reiki, in particular, to me, that just kicked my whole world off. I really could feel the energy with that. It was fantastic stuff. Before I was, you know, people was telling me I was going to be a healer and all the rest of it, and I was putting my hands on the shoulders, and they were saying all these marvelous things and saying, oh, that's great, and oh, my pain's gone and all the rest of it. And I really wasn't feeling anything. I was just like, what's going on? But when I went and got attuned to Reiki, I really did feel the energy. I could just feel it pouring out my palms. It was a very, very strange sensation. And as I was being attuned, I had the weirdest feeling running through my body. It was like being split in half. Half of me was really, really warm, really, really hot. And the other half was absolutely freezing cold. And it was just like a mixture of energies, but the feeling was so immense. It was like electricity running through you. It was so cool, and I thought, wow, this is something that's got to be explored. That's got to be played with.
Yeah.
Hence, I went on and did my time and did my studying, and moved up to being a Reiki master and a teacher myself, which is fantastic, and I love attuning people too. But yeah, moving on to like the Kundalini. That opened my eyes in another way, and it's a good thing to do, heal past lives and certain things like that, and you can get to the bottom with like DNA healing and birth trauma, and it's just amazing what you can do. And I used to sort of assess the patient, see what was wrong with them, either find it out myself through spirit or they would tell me, and I used to choose between various healing things, what I thought they would need. And it all got a bit complicated, to be honest, because there was that much I needed to use from each individual modality. And I was getting a bit confused with myself, and my spirit guides just, they were sort of laughing at me, to be honest, and saying, why are you making it so hard for yourself? So I'm like, well, I've got to do this, and I've got to do, and they just said, just stand there and let us do it, you idiot. I just thought, well, you know, you don't usually fib, so I just will. So I just let them do what they want now, and, you know, the results are fantastic, so who am I to argue?
Yeah, like I was mentioning that earlier before you came on, that you give all the credit to the angels and the guides, but don't you believe it takes a special person to facilitate this kind of work? I mean, without having an open heart and an open mind and good and pure intentions, would it not be kind of impossible for someone to be a conduit such as you are? I mean, it takes a special person even still, even if they're doing the work, right, Dean?
Well, there's nothing special about me. Dedicated, I would say. Yes, dedicated. I can live with dedicated. I don't do ego. I certainly don't do
hubris. He's going to sit there and say, oh, I'm special.
Well, no, but I mean, it does take someone that's at least got an understanding, an appreciation for it, and a reverence, such as you do, I think. I mean, I was going to ask initially, you know, can anybody do this? And I imagine anybody can, what you call it, attune, because I know I've been in meditation and felt that total surge of energy, and I imagine that's the same stuff you're working with, but see, you're working with it, whereas like in meditation, I'm just blissing out on it. You're actually using it to help somebody else, right?
I mean, it is. I mean, don't get me wrong. You've got to have a compassion for whatever you're healing. Do you know what I mean? For your fellow man, you know, anything. You've got to have a heart. You've got to feel things. You know, I am a big believer that anybody can do this, yes, but, you know, if you've got hatred running through your veins, then it's not going to happen, is it? You're not going to be that channel that you need to be. It's as simple as that, because at the end of the day, your energy follows thought, and if you're thinking bad things, then you're not going to be healing anybody. So it's not that anybody can do it, shall we say. It's just you've got to have that heart and compassion. And it's very hard to love a lot of things, do you know what I mean? I've had people put before me who I'm not a particular fan of, do you know what I mean? But but I see it as a challenge, and I won't turn anybody away, whether I dislike them or not. Do you know what I mean? Again, you know, I'm no Buddha. I don't love everybody. I wish I could, but it's very, very hard. But when it comes down, when it comes down to healing, then I'm talking to spirit all the way through my healings, and I'm just begging for whoever's life is on my. Is on my healing table before me, and that's what it is. I just want them so badly to be healed and to be well again. And don't get me wrong, it doesn't always happen in one session. You know, certain things you're dealing with cancer and a lot of very very bad viruses and diseases and stuff like that is going to take a lot of time. But I always say to people who come to me that I guarantee you, within four sessions, there will be something different that you will see in your life. It may not be the major thing you're looking for, but there will be a change somewhere. And it's a building process. It really is. But, I've not had anybody yet who hasn't seen a difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know I did. Just saying. I mean, okay, we did it remotely, but I still had I was still quite impacted. And I have to say, when you worked with me, that month that we did the weekly sessions, I was feeling so much better and more energized. Just it's a strange thing, and it's a little hard to wrap your head around if, you know, you don't have much experience with this stuff to fully put your faith in a remote healing. It's one thing when someone's got their hands over you and you feel the energy kind of flowing into your body, but when there's someone so far away, it's like, well, you know, you kind of I hope they find me over here. but it was, the difference was profound for me, and I just, really incredible. I guess I went off on a tangent there, but you did pretty cool work.
Spirits, just my odd way of looking at it, but what, spirits wouldn't be limited by distance, I think.
Well,
of course. It would just be, you know, like walking through a door.
Right, but
I have a note here, and it's in quotations, and it says, bigger and colder each week as you worked. And you had mentioned the heat and the cold. So in your work, is that what happened, the cold with the energy?
Yeah, it can build either way. Depends what you're sort of healing. One of the sort of things that is mentioned in many, many healing books and manuals is if when you're healing there's heat from the hands to the problem, it's usually pushing healing into whatever needs healing, your arm, your leg, whatever. If it's cold, then people sort of say it's drawing stuff out of the body.
Oh.
That's how a lot of people put it. It's not 100% written rule, but that's how people sort of write it down and see it and things like that. With me, when I first sort of started with Margaret Bennett, who works with me as part of Spiritual Heart, I used to meditate at her house every Friday, and we used to like build our energies and go through the meditations to help each other and give each other guidance and readings and things and stuff like that. And I'd been healing for a fair while, and we used to send our absent healing to the healing book together, and this energy just started growing between my hands each week. It just started getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and like you say, colder and colder. And in the end, my arms was at full outstretched, and it was like holding an absolutely ginormous snowball, and it was so cold, and I was absolutely shaking and shivering
wow.
with the coldness of it. It was such an immense feeling. I felt like I was outside in the North Pole or something. It was so intense, but it wasn't a bad feeling. It was just what the heck is this? It was amazing. And it took about maybe 5 weeks, 6 weeks to grow this ball of energy, as it was, to this size. And that was when Ben Black Elk said to me, put it over Margaret. So I walked over to her and I put this ball of energy over her head and just took it all the way down her body. And she felt it all. She felt the immenseness of it and the pure energy of it. And straight away after we'd finished, she started building one of these energy balls herself, and it started growing with her week and week and getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And Margaret's been a really big help to me as a medium and a teacher, and it's nice to pay her back because she put a lot of time and effort into me in the early days, because she would only ever have ladies at her house. And I was the first guy she'd ever
wow.
invited to her house to teach and learn. So I was quite honoured with that. And it's so nice to pay her back. And I've become her teacher too now, as a healing teacher. And I've attuned her to Reiki and things. And to put that pure, I mean, a direct attunement from spirit with a healing energy ball, that was just an incredible day for both of us. It was fantastic.
I remember my first experience with Reiki was about 6 years ago. I have a friend named Jerry, and his nephew was in town. He was raised in Hawaii, and his mother is a Reiki master. And I had a very sick rabbit, and we couldn't figure out why he was sick or where he was sick. The tests were inconclusive, and this young boy, he was 17, was putting his hands above the rabbit, not even touching him, and running them back and forth, and I'm looking at him going, you know, laughing inside, not to his face, of course, and he told me, you know, it's right here, it's in his stomach, and he was doing healing on the stomach, and I just went, okay, well, thank you, that was very nice of you. A week later, we find out that the rabbit's got severe intestinal distress. He got it spot on. And later that evening, he had also done it on me, and I closed my eyes. I didn't want to. I'm the biggest skeptic in the world, so I was going to prove he was lying. And damn if I didn't feel something. And I always knew where he was. I felt it as heat and tingling. And yep. So that was my first introduction to it. And I think I probably shared that with Angie and went, you know, I'm sure I imagined it. Ha ha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there's no denying it, really. Once you've experienced someone who knows what they're doing, there's really no denying it. And that's, I don't know, that's pretty cool. Dean,
no, but I did, didn't I? I did. 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I want to ask you if you think, like, just any and all ailments can be energetically healed, or do you think that some people are basically stuck living out their karma, like maybe they have a penance to pay or whatnot, you know?
I wouldn't like to say, really. It's not my place. I'm not God. However, I don't see why we can't try. If it's not to be done, then it's not to be done. I know there is a lot of illnesses and stuff we bring through and karmically and things like that. But then this is what I say about doing Kundalini. You can actually heal karma. So it is a tough one. I mean, there's a lot of things you bring through with you, and it's trying to find yourself as you go through life, really. And if you can address the issues, and healing will help you do that, and if you're
right.
persistent and if you're dedicated, then I don't see why not. Do you know what I mean? But then, you know, you can go to the drastic end of the table with disabled people and things like that, and you know, you can't replace limbs and stuff. So
right.
it's a very tough question. But even then, I used to work with disabled children, and it was a fantastic job. I loved it. Very heartbreaking job on a daily basis, but it was brilliant. But to walk around pushing them around in a wheelchair and taking them from ward to ward or wherever and stuff like that, it was great to be able to send them healing and nobody know. I was a bit sneaky.
Oh, that's great. But do you ever work with your team? And, you know, you're sitting somebody out in front of you and you're ready to do your work and they're like, no way, we're not working with this one. I mean, does it ever happen where you feel blocked as a facilitator?
No, I've never felt blocked, but mm-hmm. You do get people like that. I have had people walk into the sanctuary. Well, I've had people actually not walk into the sanctuary, and this is because they're carrying negative energy. And
oh.
Negative energy can really take over the mind and the body of a person, and obviously the negative knows what's going to happen when it comes into my healing room, and people have refused to come in. But it's not them refusing, it's the negativity telling them we don't want to go in there, because they know what's going to happen. It's going to get pulled out and it's going where it needs to go. So yeah, I have had to talk people around and you know, really try to get them to come into the room and really tell them to, you have to stay on the bed, don't get off the bed, because there is some, you know, it's not all love and light, unfortunately. There is a darker side, there is a negative side, and it needs to be dealt with, which is another big part of my job, clearing houses, clearing people. You can't heal anybody when they've got negativity in them. It's just not going to happen. It's just going to turn it around. Yeah, you've got to deal with that first, and it's become a really, really big part of my work, dealing with the negative side of things.
You make negativity sound almost like an entity.
It can be, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's actually my next question. After you said that, you know, in our personal talks, you once in a while you'll bring up, you know, negs, whatever. And so that's the negative energy. It's really not negative energy. It really is a force, right? I mean, isn't it? It's kind of an entity all of its own.
It can be. I mean, it's like if you've got an energy block within your system is going to cause you to feel ill. It doesn't have to be massive negative block, but if you're getting down or you're depressed, then your body system gets down and depressed, which causes blockages, which causes illnesses, because it blocks all the meridians and the chakra points, which is what we basically work on as healers, the seven main chakras. So, yeah, there's simple things like that. That's just picking up stuff in everyday life. But there is, unfortunately, bigger entities out there, bigger negativities out there. And, you know, some people are carrying more than one and don't realize. One of the big things that I really want to do, I would love to do, and I am in the process of trying to do, is get into psychiatric wards and the mental health side of the medical profession, because I am completely convinced that at least maybe 60-70% of the patients that they have drugged up to the eyeballs can be cleared. It's just they're just carrying negative energy, and once you clear people of negative energy, they can think for themselves again. All the drugs do is subdue them and turn them into zombies, which is not helping them at all.
Right. Oh, you have me on board there. Now you start that kind of research, and I'm with you. I think it's fascinating, and I actually have kind of had my own little philosophy on that as well. I absolutely agree, and I can't wait to see where that goes for you.
Hopefully one day.
Yeah. Do you think
go ahead.
You know, we're talking about the negs. I've known several people throughout my life that have an aversion to church. Like they say, oh, I can't stand going into churches, or when I go in, I feel like I'm going to, you know, freak out or explode or whatever. Do you think that's the same type of thing, where there's like kind of clean energy in the church? Maybe not all churches, but okay, let's just say, you know.
That's true.
There might be a more pure, loving energy, and the negativity within themselves is giving them that aversion to being in that space. Do you think it's something that simple?
No, that's intelligence.
I'm sorry. I was asking Dean.
There's too many answers to that one, isn't there? I suppose it can be in a lot of people's cases, but mm-hmm. I have to admit as well that my best friend, who calls himself, an atheist, hates what I do. But, you know, he's each to their own sort of thing. He's happy for me to do it. He doesn't knock me, but he doesn't believe in it in any way, shape or form, and you'd not get him in a church for love for money, but that's just because of his lack of interest, lack of learning, shall we say. Do you know what I mean? It's not a bad thing. I know for a fact he's not carrying negative energy.
Right.
It's just he's just a bit of a negative attitude, shall we say, but that's because he's just uneducated in the knowledge of all this, you know. And unfortunately, religion does come across quite boring. You know, you're not taught the right things in school. You get the Bible rammed down your throat, and you know, these so-called religious teachers and theologians that I learnt with at school don't really know jack. You're just reading from a book, but you know, you should be teaching about spirit, you should be teaching about the afterlife, you should be teaching about love, you should be teaching how to, you know, respect one another. Then, you know, the world maybe wouldn't be such a messed up place. But we don't teach that. We teach the politics of religion, which is it's not a good thing, really. It's not helping anybody.
And fear, and you know, like we know, there's love or fear, and if they're teaching fear, where's the love in their religion? That's, I guess, my biggest issue with it.
Yeah, I mean, I read the Bible, and again, I'm not going to knock it or anything like that, because it's got some great things in it and stuff like that. But at the same time, it just keeps harping on about this vengeful God, the wrath of God, fear right. God at your peril and all this. And I just think, what you got to fear him for? You know,
right.
there's nothing to fear. He's not there to do anything nasty. And it's, you know, it's because it's written. It's the rule. Well, I'm afraid that's not right in my eyes. I just can't float with a lot of it. But then again, you know, it's a book that's been written God knows how many times, hasn't it? So
right.
I think you've got to learn it yourself.
I'm not against religion. I'm not against belief or anybody that wants to follow the basic principles in their heart. It's the organized money taking. That's what I'm against, is the money grabbers and the people that corrupt it.
Absolutely.
And that's how I was raised. You know, God, you're going to pay for that. That's what you get. God just punished you. That kind of stuff. And why would I love a God like that?
Right. They make it difficult with the...
To do. I mean, we've just had over in England, actually in Scotland, the top of the UK, the Pope's just been. And, you know, there was big TV coverage of it all day about his visits, meeting all these politicians and all the rest of it. And he's dressed in all these robes and all this gold and medallions and all the rest of it. It's cost the taxpayers millions of pounds for him to come over and say a few words. And, you know, you go on about the Vatican's millions and all the rest of it. Shouldn't this money be actually doing some good and helping the people that need it? This is what I don't get my head around with religion. And there's all these politicians there bowing to him and wanting to shake his hand and all the rest of it. I'd like to know how many of them are actually Catholic or into religion. You know, there's a lot of phoniness there for me. It's not something
hypocrisy.
I could do. Yeah, I mean, I'm very small. You know, I work on my own as a healer, and I set up little demonstrations to raise money for charity to do good. So, you know, I'm doing my bit in my eyes, but you hoarding all them millions for your religion, that's not doing good. That's not God's work. I'm not into that. Again, I don't want to slate anybody's religion, but, you know, if you're going to help people, then please help them.
Makes perfect sense.
I made a lot of notes when I was researching, and I wrote down Templa Marquest, but I didn't write down what that means.
Templa Mar is something I came across a few years ago, and apparently it's in the spiritual realms and the angelic realms. It is a big healing mansion, and there is a fantastic book on it which I read. I think it's by Angela McGare, and she takes you on her journey, her spiritual journey, as she ventured there, and she shares it with you. And it's just a place I would love to go. It just sounds an amazing place to see the angels and have them work on your personal body and to actually open you up completely. It's quite a fascinating book. It's quite a fascinating read. I wanted to mention it on my website because I just fell in love with the place, and I just thought, wow, now that's a sanctuary, you know. Definitely a lot bigger than mine.
Yeah.
But no, it's... sorry, go on.
Well, we need to do a second show.
Yeah, I know. I'm already getting done.
I mean, there's so much more to cover, and he's got so much more to offer, and we're almost at a time, and I feel like we just touched the tip of the iceberg.
No, we still have over 5 minutes, so we're good for now. I did want to ask... In your mind, what's the difference between an angel and a guide, and like psychic ability and healing? Like, what delineates these different things that people might just kind of glum them all together in a big bunch?
Personally, to me, if you've got a spiritual guide, then they've usually walked this earth several times, hundreds of times, however many, and they're just there to help you. You, when you pass over yourself, you will learn the spiritual ways, and you will become a spirit guide to somebody on the earth plane yourself, given time and given your experience and your knowledge and all the rest of it, which is great. Angels, however, angels are always angels and always will be angels. They are God's angels. They will always be there to work for God. They can take physical human form, but they will always be angels. They will not live a life as a physical form, and as a physical form as we are, when we turn to spirit, we can never become an angel. There is a complete difference there.
Okay. It's God's
puppy. It's his peeps. God's peeps. what advice would you give to our listeners who are looking to find greater spiritual strength and maybe healing and better physical well-being? Like, where would they even start if they're not kind of new to this stuff?
If you're new to it, then, and you want to seek a place out, then I would do your homework, definitely, because unfortunately there's a lot of people out there talking the good game but not playing the good game, shall we say.
Right.
I've sat in a few circles and things and stuff myself, and a lot of people are very disrespectful and try doing things like trance and all the rest of it. And when you're new to this, you've got to learn the absolute basics. You've got to learn from the very bottom. You've got to learn massive respect, and you've got to learn massive protection, because when you're open yourself up to the spirit world, you only want the good people coming through. You can't just open yourself up to anything. People who want to mess about with Ouija boards and things and stuff like that, I just find you insane. I really do, because you're opening up to another world there, and there is good and bad. And when you're opening up fully like that, you don't know what you're dragging through. So, yeah, definitely do your homework and pick a reputable place. As for healing, then I would just have to recommend Reiki as a fantastic place to start. It might not be for everybody, but for me, it changed my world. It really, really did.
Right. Yeah.
But again, you would need to really check out your Reiki master as well, because... if they're not doing the work and they're just in it for the money to attune you, then you're not going to get the energies you want. It's as simple as that. You need a pure channel. You need somebody who's working well with it, has a lot of patience under the name or whatever, and it was doing the right thing. You've got to look after your body too. You know, you've got to keep this channel pure and keep it working.
Mm-hmm. You might want to maybe join some spiritual groups, meet some people that have experienced these things with different people. That's what I did. I took some classes, and through the classes I met different people, and they shared their experiences with their healers. And, you know, I just tried people till I found the proper fit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what worked for me.
Yeah.
Because like Dino says, there's people out there that will exploit people that are already weak. They're searching, and they will take advantage.
Unfortunately.
So I guess the best way would be through referrals and whatnot, where somebody already knows. That's probably, I imagine, the best way then to figure it out. So we have 3 minutes left. Is there anything we've left unsaid that you would like to share with the listeners, Dean?
No, not really. Just if you're going to learn, then I would just like to say, find yourself a circle, but find yourself a closed circle. One that's run properly. You don't want to be in an open circle when you're beginning. A, it's too advanced for you, and B, anybody can sit in one, and you don't know what's being brought to the table. Again, you really can't play with this stuff. It's got to be respect and protect.
It's power.
Yeah.
It is power at the end of the day, and it's got to be used well.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for the way that you use it and the light that you bring to the universe with what you do. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure, Dean. Maybe we'll do it again and cover a whole bunch of other questions. Pick your brain some more.
Yeah, let's put the well to rights.
It's been a pleasure.
I'm on.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for inviting me on.
Yeah,
thank you.
Have a good day. We'll talk to you soon. All right.
Good day. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow. Okay, so we have like a minute left. Yeah. Oh, well, maybe not, because I just lost my co-host. We have no time left. Well, that was a total joy, and what a cool person. And if anybody's interested in contacting Dean, I want to give his website again, and that's Spiritual Heart. So that's H-A-R-T, not H-E-A-R-T. So it's Spiritual H-A-R-T .wordpress.com. He can be found on Facebook as well. I guess if you just search Dean Kingett, and Kingett is spelled K-I-N-G-E-T-T. So you can find him one way or another, or contact us anyway. I think anyone who's looking for a healer, Dean is a fantastic choice, whether you're over in the UK or you're here in the US. So, okay, that's that. And I'm out. It was a great show. Thank you all.